You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I don't think we're going to ever find direct payments from China or Russia to Joe Biden. It appears that the millions of dollars went through several of Hunter Biden's various LLCs, and then in turn, Joe Biden was receiving benefits through Hunter Biden paying for basic living expenses, repairs to his homes, and things like that. This obviously is something that the president has lied about. He lied about his knowledge of Hunter's shady business dealings. He lied about his involvement in Hunter's shady business dealings. And we believe he's lied about receiving benefits from all the influence peddling from his family over the past decade.
I fully agree. Do you? Thanks for joining us. This is November 30, 2022. We are live streaming as I speak at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you right to our Rumble page. You can watch us live in studio or watch later. I see many of you often watch later. That's fine. You're very busy right now. I appreciate you listening either this way or through the radio, of course. And all programs are put up as podcasts when we finish. So Joe Biden lied repeatedly. At least that's according to, and I tend to agree with him, Republican Kentucky Congressman James Comer. He is going to be head of the House Oversight Committee, which means we are going to investigate Hunter Biden and all of his connections, which in turn lead back to Joe Biden. Now, Congressman Comer said the main focus will be for his Oversight Committee is what they've got in hand, and that's bank documents. You can fudge and change and move things around a lot, but those bank documents, oh, they're damning. I mean, they're absolutely damning. And then you put that with some whistleblowers, you're going to have one hell of a story. Now, of course, already the state-controlled media is saying, oh, this is nothing, there's nothing to it. The same state-controlled media that made all the noise over the January 6th event is just, again, they're lost somewhere in the cornfield. Can't find their way out. They don't want to find themselves a way out. They're happy where they are. We'll get into that in more detail. We are going to be joined also by Jake Denton. He is an expert when it comes to tech. He's with the Heritage Foundation, and the reason is because in addition to what Comer says they have, Twitter, Elon Musk is talking about releasing all the private tweets and emails and things of that nature that have been hidden by Twitter execs. If he releases those, there's another piece of damning evidence against Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and all the other Democrats who join together to attack and destroy anyone that dares say, I'm a patriot. We're going to hear from Jake Denton later and see exactly what we can expect once Musk decides to release the Twitter files. The Senate did pass the Respect for Marriage Act, expected, of course, to go right through the House anyway. My guest, Terry Schilling, is president of the American Principles Project, a lobby group for families fighting for protection of the family. We're going to talk about how bad he thinks this is. 12, count them, 12 Republican senators signed on to this same act, which many say really destroys marriage and will put penalties, including civil, possible criminal, and certainly court filings against anyone who dares stand against gay marriage. Now, I don't care if you're for gay marriage or not, but I don't think you should be punished if you're against it. This bill will do that. The rail strike apparently averted, the House passing the bill. That's the first step to avoid the walkout of workers. It's a 290 to 137 vote, so now they're sending it to the Senate for consideration, and they're just a week out from the December 9 deadline for that strike. And already we're getting reports from Republicans saying, we're not going to have time to read this thing. And Biden's pushing them, just sign it. Kind of like Nancy Pelosi originally on Obamacare. We'll know what's in it after we sign it. Right. And also Don Lemon. Don Lemon Fruitcake. I didn't have time for this yesterday. I am making time for it today. CNN, he said, has never been liberal. Never been liberal. You got to stick around for that story. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're on the side of peaceful protest. We're on the side of individuals being able to freely assemble and to express right. their views, whatever those views are. We're not taking a side on, in terms of what these protesters are about. Largely, though, Steve, you know
Why?
That these protesters are really out there about the lockdown. Their,
right.
their main concern,
100%.
What drove them to the streets, was the very severe, very stringent COVID policies by Xi's administration. And that's what's really been driving all this public protest.
Yeah, that's what's driving the protest in China. That is today on Fox News this morning. And the guest was retired Admiral Kirby, who is now serving as the White House National Strategic Consultant, basically. And he's saying that we're on the side of the people. We're on the side of the people. And yet he's hedging his bets at the same time. And we're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. But on this China protest right now, this word coming out, the Chinese Communist Party's media arm finally acknowledging today this wave of anti-regime protests that have been sweeping across the country. They've had public dissent for some time, but it's gotten really big over the last several weeks because of the constant lockdown and people being told you can't leave your house, you're at your job, and we lock it down, you got to stay at your job. And then they had this fire in one area the other day, and firemen could not get to those victims inside. They either died of smoke inhalation or fire because the doors and so forth might have been sealed shut by COVID teams to make sure those people did not leave their areas. So now we have this response from the official party from China, the state-run propaganda outlet Global Times, trying to address the protest in an article describing the party's response to, quote, criminal acts disturbing social order. Though they do know how to twist their words, don't they? You know who learns closely from them? Right here in this nation? The state-controlled media. The Times of the Global Times, I want to stress, reported the party's Commission for Political and Legal Affairs held an emergency session. I hope they finally decide to hold an emergency session to address the criminal acts, without specifying what it meant by that, but they're talking about the protests in the streets. And the commission reportedly ordered that political and legal organs should promptly dredge and resolve conflicts and disputes to help solve people's practical difficulties. In other words, shut them up. Now, how do you think they're going to do that in China? And they also demanded we maintain overall social stability, which is, again, shut up, do what we told you to. And they say they're acting in response to what they believe to be a threat to national security. Actually, the Chinese foreign ministry has yet to officially address the protest in any way. All that coming, as I said, from the Global Times on behalf of China. In fact, the foreign ministry spokesman was asked about, are you considering an end to the brutal zero COVID policy? He sat there and just listened, thought, and then did what politicians normally do when they're totally lost. Can you repeat the question? And then offered an apparent denial that there are any protests. Well, your own Global Times says there are. And never mind. We're going to get into that, of course, a little bit later as well, because not only what's happening in China, but who's helping them. And that includes, again, state-controlled media in this country. Tucker Carlson did a great piece last night talking about how Apple is also assisting the Chinese in cracking down on the dissension in the street. We'll get into that. In the meantime, let's go back to this morning when we had on the Fox News with Brian Kilmeade and team and White House National Security Coordinator John Kirby, and they began to get into an issue regarding U.S. Afghanistan, our departure from Afghanistan, as it might be looked at and quoted in some sources as a gift to the Chinese. Now, before we start this, I want to tell you, it is a long piece. But it's not that long? Okay, I thought it was longer. I mistimed it. But either way, it's a very good exchange between Kilmeade, again, and we're talking about White House National Security Coordinator John Kirby.
The way you withdrew is the issue, Admiral. The way military moved in and out is a separate issue. Your Defense Department claimed as part of its annual report to Congress on national security developments, they suggest that China capitalized on the withdrawal to convince world leaders the U.S. is not a reliable ally. It's not Brian Kilmeade talking. It's your Defense Department. The PRC employed multiple diplomatic tools in an attempt to erode U.S. and partner influence, and it highlights the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The death of 13 and though how many people we got out, that's one issue. But the way we did it, the way we promised that government would stand up, the way we were going to leave in and have a transition,
Brian,
the disaster that took place is one of the many problems, along with the soldiers that are suffering now by the way you ended that 20-year war, not you, but the administration, is that China is using it, and you could argue that Russia invaded Ukraine because of it.
Yeah, you could argue that. We've all argued that. When they saw the failings of the Biden administration and how we yanked out of Afghanistan in the middle of the night, exposing American troops and civilians still inside the country, and those we told we would help get out of the country, it was a total debacle. 30 August 2021, and we're gone. And there were a lot of Afghans who had helped us during that war against the Taliban, and we'd promised them we will get you and your families out because we know you'll be targeted the moment we leave. And, of course, we had U.S. servicemen overrun at that point because there weren't enough of them, and then set them up for a suicide bombing, basically, that took place at the airport in the city because we were no longer occupying our Air Force base we had in the site on the country in downrange. That's why we lost American troops. They were in a vulnerable position. Many in the St. Louis area know that one was from that area that was killed. I think two of them were women. And I only point out the gender difference because we have men and women over there sacrificing for this country and whatever the mission is. And they expect and they deserve full support and backing of their leaders. But in this case, the commander-in-chief said, get everybody out and move now. So you heard how Kilmeade went on the attack against Kirby on what we did or what we did not do, and basically it became a gift to the Chinese because they're watching, as were the Russians. And then they decided, why don't we go into Afghanistan? I mean, why don't we go into Ukraine? Because look at this administration. They don't know what to do. Again, let's resume that conversation.
The report said that China attempted to capitalize on it. That's a big difference from saying that they did or were able to capitalize on this. I mean, they spread propaganda about everything, Brian. You know that. But look at
how do you rate the way we left?
How strongly,
Admiral, how did we leave?
Look at how strongly the international community has rallied around Ukraine. China has not been able to succeed.
Admiral, how do you
trying to convince people that that was some sort of weakness by the United States.
As a military officer, forget about the people that got out because the government collapsed that you promised wouldn't. How do you characterize the way we left Afghanistan? Because most clear-thinking people say worse than the embarrassment of Saigon. What do you say?
I'll say the same thing to you, Brian, here today that I've said to you many, many times in the past. We have admitted and acknowledged that not everything about the withdrawal was done perfectly.
Yeah, well, we all acknowledge that. And he is military background. Kirby is a retired rear admiral in the Navy. And, yeah, it was not done properly. He acknowledges that. But then the other issue is still, and this one was absolutely stunning, President Biden apparently was not really briefed on a lot of things. In fact, it appears he refused to be briefed. In other words, he didn't want to be bothered with it.
We have admitted and acknowledged that not everything about the withdrawal was done perfectly, that there were certainly mistakes made. We've investigated those mistakes. We've owned up for those mistakes.
The president never been briefed on it. The president has not taken a briefing. I know this for a fact. They had a report put together about what we're running in Afghanistan. The president wouldn't even take an oral brief on it. Why is that, Admiral?
It was the right thing to do for the president to end our war in Afghanistan, Brian. It was the right thing to bring our troops home. It was the right thing to be able to focus on other challenges like China and like Russia.
1,000 people in Afghanistan does not get your eye off the ball. We have a massive military. You could have left a few thousand in there and stopped what we're witnessing now, which is a terror haven for Al-Qaeda. And guess what? Bin Laden's son is now back there.
Ask some Al-Qaeda leaders how safe they feel in Afghanistan right now.
Well, before we get to the edge on that, I want to go back to what Kirby was saying. The president did the right thing just right after Kilmeade said the president wasn't even briefed, did not take a briefing, did not take an oral briefing. You're the commander-in-chief, and you're not interested, or you don't want to hear what's going on? You don't want up-to-date information? That's a commander-in-chief? And you think that's not a propaganda gift to China, Russia, and all of our enemies all over the world? Hell yes, it is. All right, so Kirby is, again, the White House National Security Coordinator, is trying to say, look, we took out an Al-Qaeda person.
Ask some Al-Qaeda leaders how safe they feel in Afghanistan right now.
You killed
one.
After
we just took out Zawahiri.
You killed one. There are thousands back.
The titular leader of Al-Qaeda inside Afghanistan, not just one, not just some guy on a street corner, Brian. It was a very, very carefully executed and very, very effective strike.
How many back? How many ISIS and Al-Qaeda are back in?
We said that Al-Qaeda would be back in Afghanistan even before we left. They were starting to move back in, Brian, and we're watching it very closely. And the fact that we were able to execute that strike, the leader, by the way, not just some guy on a street corner, but the leader, tells you that our over-the-horizon counterterrorism capabilities
really?
Are actually
so,
quite effective.
So he's the only one. If you had over-the-horizon capabilities, you would have killed more than one because thousands
Brian,
are back.
Brian. It is not about killing every single terrorist around the world on any given day. We watch these threats carefully, and when they develop to a degree where we think our national security is at risk,
how do
we
you
take
watch
action,
them? Our
and
assets
we did that.
Have left. Our
we
assets have left.
We
you
have
know
over
they're
the
gone.
Horizon. Brian, we have over-the-horizon capabilities. You and I have talked about this. I'm not saying that it, you know, we have every single asset available to us that we did a year or so ago, but we have enough, and we're working to improve them every single day.
Right, right. And I'm sure everybody's briefing the president on it because he seems to be really interested anyway. Do you see any disconnect there whatsoever between the commander-in-chief, our forces, wherever they might be in harm's way, and this almost cavalier indifferent attitude? Over the horizon means, all right, we know what's going on to some extent. We're watching with drones, things of this nature. Intel on the ground is always your best information. That's your best asset. We don't have those there. And I understand that. And I also understand we can't kill every Al-Qaeda terrorist every day we want to. We should. But I don't trust them when they say we're monitoring, we're watching, and when it rises to a level of threat, we do something about it. You won't even close our southern border to keep illegal, possible terrorists coming across the border. And you want me to believe that you can rush in anytime you see this has now risen to a threat capability? All right, well, when we return, I want to go to Maria Bartiromo this morning. She had Congressman Comer on, and he's talking about how they're going to investigate Hunter Biden and why and in what direction.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm here for the beer and the ball busting face. Gonna get a little crazy just because I can. You know I'm here for the party. And I ain't leaving till they call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You being the chairman of the Oversight Committee, tell us where you're focused in terms of the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden influence peddling story.
Well, that's a great question, Maria. We're focused squarely on the bank records. We have correspondence from Hunter Biden himself, as well as interviews from at least two whistleblowers that point directly to specific things Hunter Biden was paying for Joe Biden. I don't think we're going to ever find direct payments from China or Russia to Joe Biden. It appears that the millions of dollars went through several of Hunter Biden's various LLCs, and then in turn, Joe Biden was receiving benefits through Hunter Biden paying for basic living expenses, repairs to his homes, and things like that. This obviously is something that the president has lied about. He lied about his knowledge of Hunter's shady business dealings. He lied about his involvement in Hunter's shady business dealings. And we believe he's lied about receiving benefits from all the influence peddling from his family over the past decade.
Absolutely. Again, that is Congressman Comer, Kentucky, Republican, head of the House Oversight Committee, as they're going to take a closer look at the Hunter Biden laptop and all the information from that. But more importantly, as you heard him say, our main focus will be bank records, bank documents and records that indicate how much money was deposited, when, by whom, who checks were made out to, who got the money, then what disbursements were made out of those same accounts. It's going to tie all this stuff together. When Biden has been on the campaign trail, when he was in the process of trying to win the Oval Office, he kept ignoring it, saying, man, get your facts straight. You guys know what you're talking about. I never had a single discussion with my son ever about any of his business dealings. And then all of these witnesses have come forward and said, well, yes, he did. Tony Bobulinski, remember, one of Hunter's partners, said, yeah, I sat down at a dinner with him that was arranged by Hunter. And the whole idea was to make this entree so they could know each other. And then others were brought in the same way. And emails back and forth already from the Hunter Biden laptop show a lot of this. But the bank records, You might try to say that the Hunter laptop has a lot of emails that got falsified or hacked into or something. You could claim that. But I will remind you this, even the New York Times finally had to admit it's real. CBS News finally had to admit it's real. And I'm looking at a survey that was taken by a national survey by Rasmussen Reports. And it finds that 62% of likely U.S. voters approve of the House GOP investigation of Hunter Biden's overseas deals. And out of that 62%, 42% strongly approve. Because, again, keep in mind, all these jobs that Hunter Biden was getting, Congressman Comer points out the obvious.
You look at what Hunter Biden's businesses really are. I mean, he doesn't manufacture anything. He doesn't own any equipment. He doesn't have any employees. He's not licensed to sell anything. It appears to me his businesses were influence peddling. The only reason that you can make that these foreign countries were paying Hunter Biden millions of dollars would be for access to the federal government at the highest levels through his father. So this is something that clearly should not be legal. This is something that the president has not been truthful with the American people over. And we're going to make this one of our investigative priorities in the new Congress. And it's very sad to see the media all over the United States write so many op-eds trashing the fact that the Republicans simply want to have a focus of an investigation to determine whether or not this president of the United States is compromised by our adversaries.
And that's a very legitimate question. They gave all of their attention and their focus to January 6th, which I told you they would. I told you they'd beat you over the head with it. I told you January 6th will outlive the cockroach. But they want to ignore the Hunter Biden laptop. They did. Right before the election, they wouldn't put anything out on it until the New York Post broke it. And then they covered it all up with big tech shutting them down. And eventually, others finally fell in line months after the election. This Rasmussen report said that 61% of those surveyed believe it's likely that Biden was consulted, perhaps profited from whatever Hunter was doing. No doubt. Coming up, the war against marriage.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday, we had Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation talking about what is called the Respect for Marriage Act, which, in fact, in many ways, it is not respect for marriage. It is a way to open up civil, possible criminal penalties against anyone who stands against lesbian, gay, transgender marriage, so forth. It doesn't really protect the standard spousal marriage. And you may have your different views of it. That's acceptable. But what we have now is something that's been passed by the Senate along with the help of 12 senators, which falls short of what it says it is, Respect for Marriage Act. My guest we've had on before, and he represents American Principles Project, the president, Terry Schilling, and this is a group that fights for family values. Terry, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me, Larry. I'm excited to be back.
So no surprise that it got passed through. Do you have any surprise about 12 senators who signed on to make sure it got through?
I'm not just surprised, I'm outraged, right? I'm upset because This is a Republican Party that is fundamentally unserious and incapable of really delivering anything meaningful or acting as a meaningful opposition to the Democratic agenda. If you look at what's happening in this country, you can't make an argument with a straight face that the LGBT movement needs more power. You can't make the argument with a straight face that the LGBT movement is oppressed, that they don't have any influence. That's all you see. You turn on TV, you go on social media, you go walk down your street, and you're just inundated with the LGBT agenda and the regime. It's everywhere.
And the problem is not just it's everywhere, it's shoved into the face of kids. There's an age-appropriate level where I'll accept it in the sense that, okay, you're entitled to it, but on an age-appropriate, they've gone way over the board. Let me break down these 12 senators very quickly, the Republican senators. Collins of Maine, Murkowski, Alaska, Portman, Ohio, Tillis, North Carolina, Romney, Utah, Blount, Missouri, Loomis, Wyoming, Burr, North Carolina, Capito, West Virginia, Dan Sullivan, Alaska, Ernst of Iowa, Young, Indiana, and out of those I named, Blount, Portman, and Burr did not seek re-election today. They have not sought re-election, I should say, this last time around. So they're going, bye-bye, this is our final vote.
No, that's exactly right. And the thing that's outrageous about their vote is the LGBT movement has been given very little legal and political power. They got the most power when they redefined marriage in 2015, and they have abused that power in incredible ways. They have abused their influence in insane ways to the point where they're getting people fired for opposing gay marriage, for opposing homosexuality, for believing Christian moral ethics when it comes to sexuality. They're grooming children in schools. They're giving them gay pornography books in middle schools and even in lower grades. They have abused so much. They're doing drag queen story hour. The LGBT movement is giving sex changes to kids. Why are we giving this movement any more power? They've abused the little bit of power that we've given them in incredible ways.
You know,
and I don't know how you don't see that.
Yeah, I'm going to get in specific of what the bill says, Moma, but since you brought that up, following you, I'm going to tell the audience about a New York Times. They published a lengthy front page story admitting gender-affirming drugs, for those the White House is referring to as transgender kids, could cause permanent physical and emotional damage. The New York Times actually acknowledging that. I'll get to that later. But on the other side, to refute your arguments, reference this bill, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate said, by passing this bill, the Senate is sending a message to every American, no matter who you are or who you love, do you deserve dignity and equal treatment under the law? I am for equal treatment under the law and dignity. Where does this Respect for Marriage Act go wrong?
Government doesn't give you dignity. You are born as a human being, as a child of God, and that's where your dignity comes from. Your dignity comes from God, and it's government's role to protect that. And to argue that you get dignity from having the government bless your union, your romantic relationship, is just preposterous. Marriage is a legal and religious institution designed to protect mothers and children from being abandoned and neglected and abused. Now, that is the purpose of marriage.
I had mentioned to the audience that follows me constantly. They know that yesterday I've said this, I've said it previously. I might have even told you, I have several gay friends, and most of the ones I know are actually Republican. They're more conservative, let me put it that way. And two of them, they don't like the term marriage because they think that was for their parents. They did go to California where they had a union ceremony. They're not calling it a marriage, but they felt that they need to have some protections they could not have otherwise. What is your thought on something like that versus a federal law, Respect for Marriage Act?
The problem with their arguments is that gay marriage has been the law of the land since 2015, and there has been no rush to get married by the gay community. You are more like Pew released a survey just a few years ago that showed that you were more likely to find a gay man married to a woman than you were to find a gay man married to another man. This is not, right. This is a sexual liberation movement. They don't want marriage because marriage restricts your sexual liberation. And it fulfills you, actually. That's the point of marriage. It limits you. And that's what's so beautiful about it. And so all of their arguments are preposterous. You're not going to accidentally create any children through your sexual acts like a straight couple will. And so there's no reason for legal protections. You can go visit each other in the hospital. Every hospital has non-discrimination policies for supporting the LGBT movement now. There's no reason that we needed to go further in this law and give the LGBT movement more power, especially in light of the fact that they've abused that little power that we've given them.
So what's inside of it that is punishing and threatening to those who stand in the way?
Essentially what this bill will do is it will treat tax-exempt organizations like schools and churches, religiously affiliated schools and churches, as racist organizations. They will lose their tax deduction status, their charitable status under the tax code, and they'll basically be eliminated. These churches don't operate on huge margins, most of them anyway. There are some obvious bad players here, but the churches that have stuck to Christian moral teachings about sexuality, they need these charitable deductions in order to survive. They will literally be destroyed without these exemptions. And that is the goal here, is they want to treat Christian churches and Christian organizations that uphold the church's teaching on marriage and family and sexuality
and Jewish
as the same thing as and Jewish
and
as,
Muslim and Muslim
as racist. And every major religion, right, Larry? This is the thing. The marriage is between a man and a woman and the family. These are all universal things that every major religion holds dear. And
so,
there's not any real disagreement.
So the Senator Romney, who was earlier this year undecided what he was going to do, he voted for it. And he did it after there was approval voiced by the Mormon Church saying it would support the legislation.
Look, I think that there are major problems with the direction of the Mormon Church right now. They are capitulating on all matters of human sexuality, and it's very dangerous and it's very concerning.
I'm going to ask you directly, just for the audience. Are you Mormon?
I'm Catholic.
Okay. Okay. So when you say that, you're not speaking as a Mormon. You're speaking from someone outside. I will say, as a member of Presbyterians, I born in Texas, so you're automatically priest-stamped Baptist, I mean, and then later became Presbyterian. There was a split inside the Presbyterian Church when it came to differences about gay marriage and or even women serving as deacons and elders. So I understand these splits happen inside each religion, but you're still saying that this is going to be damaging to basically all religions.
Yes, I think that it's a major problem. But look, we have seen this time and time again where various Christian denominations embrace non-Christian teachings on sexuality, like abortion, right? When abortion came out in the 70s under Roe v. Wade, there were a lot of Protestant churches who didn't have a problem with it. And it was the Catholic Church who led everyone back to the truth on abortion and never really faltered. Now, the Catholic Church has its own problems, obviously. We don't have enough time to get into all of those, but it is a major problem when a fundamentally important church like the Church of Mormon, when they're faltering on these issues, it's going to have a major implication. They've been a bedrock of this country, and it's really unfortunate.
Terry Schilling, again, president of the American Principles Project. I thank you for your insight, sir.
Thanks, Larry.
We'll do it again. Terry Schilling. Coming up, as I'd mentioned, the New York Times just published a full-page story admitting that gender-affirming drugs could be bad for kids. Stand by. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon. Joining Cafe Napoli, St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, come here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So following up on our discussion with Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, fighting against this Respect for Marriage Act, passed with the help of 12 Republican senators, which many are saying is simply an attack upon the basic marriage of man and woman. The New York Times, of course, and he's right when he said earlier that we're constantly having transgender type stuff being shoved in our faces everywhere we go. Now, if you're gay, lesbian, transgender, I really don't care as long as it's you're not preying upon children with it. That's between you and God, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not doing the judging. God does the judging. It's not my style of life, not my way, but I do things other people probably wouldn't do either. But all of that aside, this I found extremely interesting. The New York Times today publishing a lengthy front page story admitting that all the gender-affirming drugs for those that the White House refers to as transgender kids could cause permanent physical and emotional damage. It's written by Megan Tohey, I believe, and Christina Jewett. The story, they paused puberty, but is there a cost? They write, these drugs are usually framed as a safe and reversible way to buy time to weigh a medical transition and avoid the anguish of growing into a body that feels wrong. Transgender adolescents suffer from disproportionately high rates of depression and other mental health issues. Every adolescent does to some extent, and we're seeing more of it because of the COVID lockdown. But now, why not roll it all into the transgender thing as well? They go on to say that studies show drugs have caused some patients gender dysphoria, a distress over the mismatch of their birth sex and gender identity. I said the drugs have eased some of their concern. I misread it. But as an increasing number of adolescents identify as transgender, and I will tell you now, I think a lot of it is just trending. It's the thing to do. It's the thing to do. I want to be like Jimmy. I want to be like Joni. Whatever. They point that despite an increasing number of adolescents identifying as transgender in the U.S., an estimated 300,000 ages 13 to 17, an untold number who are younger, there's growing concern among medical professionals about these drugs. And a New York Times exam found that questions are fueling government reviews in Europe, prompting a push for more research, leading some prominent specialists to reconsider at what age to prescribe them, for how long. A small number of doctors won't recommend them at all. Again, this New York Times article says there is emerging evidence of potential harm from using blockers, according to reviews of scientific papers and interviews with more than 50 doctors and experts around the world. And they also discuss the fact that some children change their minds about their chosen gender after they start the drugs. And some of the physical changes begin to happen. But by then, maybe bone density is reversing, other things are happening. All of this is largely confirming the reporting of writer Abigail Schreier, her 2020 book, Irreversible Damage, The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters, had been attacked by LGBT activists and even suppressed by Amazon. So earlier this year, President Biden signed an executive order promoting gender-affirming care that would include drugs and surgery for LGBTQ plus one I whatever children. Gavin Newsom did the same thing. The New York Times, a liberal outlet, acknowledging this is very dangerous stuff here. It's not that hard to figure out, is it? When you were an adolescent, did you ever feel really comfortable about what you were doing? Hell no, you didn't. You know, how are you supposed to kiss a girl? Oh, how are you supposed to hold hands? Or do I hold hands? Or my palms are sweaty. What do I do now? I mean, think of all the things as an adolescent you went through. You throw all this in, and then kids begin to think, something must be wrong with me. I must be the wrong gender, wrong body. And in California, as I just read, the governor is accepting it. You come to California, even without your parents, somebody else brings you, they will start you on drugs, and they will chop your breast off, or castrate you if that's what you want as a boy. You want that removed. I'm also looking about how this starts at such an early age. A Connecticut mother and others are outraged. There's a gender identity book for second graders in her public school. Second graders. She said, the woman says, I felt very naive. I never expected that to be here. This gender identity book, pushing this in front of second graders? See, that's part of the issue. It's not just, okay, if you're an adult, you want to do it, fine. But don't push it on the young kids, and you should be a certain age before you make that decision. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to focus more on how the Biden administration is caught in a real tight squeeze.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.